Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
What's up, everybody? Hello and welcome into the Jayhawk Talk Podcast. I am Kevin, joined with me as always in the Jayhawk Talk Studios, Andrew. Andrew, how you doing this morning?
Pretty good, Kevin. 1-0. The Jayhawks are undefeated. The regular season has started. After a little lackluster Tuesday, I was a little concerned about Allen Fieldhouse, a little concerned about the team. No worries. Friday night against Tennessee State, no worries. It was the place was jacked. The team was ready to go. We got Kentucky on Tuesday. Basketball season has started, Kevin.
Yeah, we are undefeated right now, and I think it's time to go ahead and start talking about the tattoos again. And if anyone has, you know, talked about getting a tattoo that talks about an undefeated season, I know we're about to play Kentucky. That's definitely a thing from there. I just was curious, has anyone talked about Kansas? Because we're undefeated right now.
Right, along with 215 other teams.
Hmm.
But okay, we're one of them.
Yeah, I mean, the conversation can happen because we are undefeated.
Right, but we'll see if that continues on against Kentucky on Tuesday. I'm not a tattoo guy, but Kevin, you know.
If I'm
going to get one, I'm going to go bold.
You might as well. So, Andrew, the game on Tuesday, we could talk about that, obviously, and we're going to talk about that a lot. But I think we should kind of reach back a little bit, talk about this Tennessee State game. I was calling them Tennessee Tech most of the day on Twitter. People kept saying it's State, not Tech. I'm like, whatever.
Whatever.
Whatever. It's Tennessee something. Directional sort of school that's not in the SEC that's in Tennessee.
We should start calling Texas Tech Texas State.
Oh, we should do that. The Armadillos.
Getting that mixed up. Just on purpose, but we should do it.
I'm into that. But Andrew, there was one thing that we got to get off the top. I mean, before we even get into the game, which the game was great. Good to see everybody back. Good to see some, you know, some actual real basketball. But let's talk about LeGerald Vic shorts.
Yeah, that's the most important thing we need to talk about. In the stands, at least on Friday, LeGerald's hair and shorts were a topic of conversation. Amongst other things, amongst Billy Preston, but mostly it was about LeGerald Vick's hair and shorts. I want to talk about his shorts. I'm in favor. I'm in favor of what he's doing. The short shorts, and I wouldn't even call them short shorts. I would call them fake short shorts because they're still the long baggy, but they're pulled up a little further past his waist to make them look like short shorts. I think he should take it a step further. Get rid of the little leg wear, little leg tights, and go with legit short shorts, like old school John Stockton short shorts. I think the whole team should do that. I mean, some guys kind of flirt with it, but LeGerald's kind of the standard bearer of this shorts movement. I think we should just do it. I think just go against type. Everyone switch to the other side. Kind of be like the reverse 1993, 1994 Michigan Wolverines.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to love you. Everybody's going to love you.
Yeah, that's a thing. I think that, you know, we see this in trends in sportswear attire where just, you know, we go back and forth. And now, like, baggy jeans are back. Like, I'm seeing people wearing JNCOs. Like,
JNCOs,
that's a thing, right?
Back in a big
way.
Thing.
They're back in a big way. And that's, like, that's a thing, right? Everyone's, like, skinny jeans and everyone's getting big jeans. Like, I can't keep up. But I do know this. Shorts are called shorts for a reason. Like, they're shorts. They're not, like, mediums, they're shorts. And so, like, that's the deal. Like, I'm into it too. Listen, I'm a bigger guy. I will 100%, if they put out shorts, the just, you know, the John Stockton KU shorts, I will buy some and I will wear them.
I think so. I mean, we just need to be different. I think we need to be different. And LeGerald is leading that charge. I will say that the Johnson County crowd in the field house, they didn't like his short shorts.
What?
And I would say probably 20 years ago, 25 years ago, that same crowd would have been like, I don't like these long shorts.
That's
that
hilarious.
Chris Webber, He's a thug with those long shorts. How dare he wear these shorts?
Oh, boy.
Now, 25 years later, 20 years later, everybody's like, you know what? I don't like LeGerald's short shorts.
I want the ones that hang down to his ankles. Can we go back to those? Anyway, all right. That was Talking Shorts in our open segment. That was the end of that segment. And let's talk about the game, Andrew. Lots of takeaways from this. I know it was obviously a lesser opponent, and blah, blah, blah. But I think there's some things we can actually say from real basketball here. And off the top, I think we should continue this LeGerald Vick discussion, because LeGerald Vick scored 23 points. He looked really good. He looked like he was not only a confident player, but that he almost felt like this is part of his new role to get out and score and run and launch from three. And I don't actually disagree. I mean, he is a player that has, and they said it on the broadcast a little bit, you know, like, oh, a guy that kind of stuck around. Fran Fraschilla was like, oh, people talked about him, he was going to transfer. And he's one of those players that just, you know, stuck around, paid his dues, and now he's a legit player. I actually don't disagree with that take. And he's going to be a huge key of this team, I think.
He seems to be Devontae's go-to guy. Go-to scorer. I mean, Devontae deferred a lot in this game in terms of passing, but a lot of those passes were freeing up LeGerald to score. I mean, LeGerald finished with 23 points. He's 4-for-7 from three-point land, which is good for him. I mean, last year he could shoot threes, but he wasn't necessarily proficient at it. But for him to have a high percentage and to shoot a lot of them, you know, with volume, that's going to be pretty good. He did lead the team with 4 turnovers. Tried to do a little too much in some certain spots. He tied with Malik Newman and Mitch Lightfoot there. So that's an area he needs to improve. But he had the ball just in his hands more. They were getting him the ball. He was our go-to scorer. Other than Devontae, he looked like the best player on the court. And so, you know, it's not out of the realm of possibility that LeGerald Vick leads us in scoring.
Whoa. I don't know about
that. It's not out of the realm. I think it'll be Devontae or it'll be Malik Newman. But if you were to give me LeGerald Vick, you know, 5-to-1 odds, I'd hammer that line all day.
Interesting. I disagree with that. But I think he's obviously going to be huge. And the shorts, Andrew, that's probably why. Like,
it's probably
that was the reason.
The shorts. And let's get to some of the other guys. My general takeaways were that the returning guys were pretty solid, but the newer guys were a bit of a mixed bag. And this kind of seemed like an early season game in a lot of sense. There wasn't a lot of fouls called on either side. There's only 11 free throws. But in terms of returning guys, they were ready to play. Devontae Graham was the alpha of this team. He's probably going to get a triple-double this year.
I hope so.
So with 7 minutes left in the first half, he had 5 points, 5 rebounds, and four rebounds and 5 assists. And so with that much time left, you had to put him on triple double alert. Sound the alarm, set off all the sirens. The alert was coming. He finished with 10 points, 12 rebounds, or 12 assists, and 7 rebounds. You know, this was. He had only 10 points, but it seemed like he had more because he was involved in everything. He only took 7 shots, and we saw him, you know, deferring more, but that's just the way the game came to him. He was a lot of the three-pointers we made were assisted by, you know, Devontae. Devontae had set up those shots, so, you know, when Tennessee State went into that zone, Devontae and LeGerald just tore it up.
Yeah, that was
nasty. You know, from the three and from getting the ball to LeGerald at the free throw line. They didn't know what they were doing from zone, and we definitely took advantage of that. But otherwise, anybody else strike your fancy in terms of returning guys, Kevin?
Well, I just want to say on Devontae, you know, he didn't score at all in the second half, and I think Self had some quote afterwards. It's like, he didn't score, but he still absolutely dominated the game. Like, he controlled the game. without scoring. And that's something that we want to see from him this year. Obviously, scoring is going to be a big part of his game. I think in this game, he probably felt like he didn't have to score, that he was just going to be a facilitator. I don't think that's the case on Tuesday. I think he'll probably look for his shot a little bit more against Kentucky, but and like he did against Missouri, for instance. So, but I think that's the nice thing about Devontae. I don't believe he's going to try to be one of those players that's out there to get his. He's gonna look for folks. He's gonna try to if it's his game to take over, he's going to. But yeah, I'm very excited about what I saw from Devontae. He didn't score and still dominated that game. Svi played well, Andrew. Let's talk about Svi for a second. He did get some threes to fall. I think he shot 6 threes, made at least half of them. Looked pretty good off the dribble, attacked a little bit more. Of course, the quality of opponent is something that you'll have to question, but it looks like, Andrew, he was playing with a little bit more confidence.
That's what he needs. We know he can play. He just needs that confidence. We're going to get into some Svi-boosting confidence tips here down the road in this podcast. So pay attention there. I think we're going to bolster Svi's game even more by some of the things we have to suggest. But let's get on to some of the newer guys. Marcus Garrett
is
the default start. It definitely takes advantage. With Billy Preston sitting, somebody's got to start. I mean, you can't have four. Somebody's got to start. So might as well be freshman Marcus Garrett. Finished with 10 points, 10 rebounds, 4 of 6 from the field in 29 minutes. And offense isn't even his game. He's primarily right now known as a defender, but he was everywhere. Kevin, we were talking earlier. Bill Self had mentioned that he might be the new Travis Relaford. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he actually looks like the most complete player in terms of a guy that's going to get Self's trust early. You know, you can't really say that for Billy yet. Maybe, you know, some of the other folks, you know, even some returners, I think that Self has a short leash on. But Marcus Garrett seems to do a lot of the little things right. And that is something we talked about in the preview show last week, that he comes from a background and a coaching background where he's kind of been taught to do those little things. He's got good basketball IQ. And Andrew, you mentioned Travis Relaford. That's exactly what Self said in the post game. He's like, he reminds me so much of Travis when he first got here. And remember, Travis, when he first got here, he was not a scorer. He was not the one putting the ball in the hole, but he was out there a lot because he didn't mess up. He passed the ball well. He moved the ball. He played great defense. He had good IQ and instinct, and I think that Marcus Garrett can be that guy. We're going to see him play quite a bit this year, and I'm kind of excited about that because, again, he doesn't – he may not add a ton offensively. But as you mentioned, he did score 10 points on 6 shots, but – he's not going to hurt you, and I really like that. I think we got enough scoring on this team that he can come out there and play his role and really add to this team.
I think so, and if we need – and he's a freshman. If we need somebody else other than Devontae to take on the best guard – I mean, and Marcus is pretty tall too, so he could probably take a forward. You know, if we need a shutdown guy, we can rely on this freshman to do that, you know, beyond Devontae, beyond some of our other guys. But let's talk about some of the other young folks. Udoka Azubuike, did you know he can dunk?
He can dunk. I saw that.
He can dunk.
I want him to dunk more.
Just mostly dunk. Just dunk, Udoka. That's all you got to do.
All the dunks.
You know what? Block shots, too. Yeah, he can block shots.
Maybe a rebound.
We love Landon Lucas. At least you love Landon Lucas. Loved him. But Landon didn't really block too many shots. Udoka can rebound, you know, not quite as well as Landon yet, but Udoka can block shots. And you know what? He looks intimidating, so people, you know, driving into the lane are going to see Udoka. He's going to be quite the scary guy. You know, another thing about him, he played 30 minutes yesterday, probably the most minutes he's ever played in college. Will we see that in the future, Kevin?
No, I don't think so.
I mean, Billy Preston didn't play. But 30 minutes is a lot to ask the big fella to play.
Yeah, I agree. He even looked a little gassed at times in that game. He actually was kind of strange. He had some interesting body language. I think he wanted the ball more. He kept kind of looking at it because we shot a lot of threes there for a stretch when he was in. And he would go down and battle for position. And it was going to be so obvious that if they handed him the ball, he was going to make a basket. And he'd run down there, he'd get in position, and it kind of looked like – and they'd shoot a three and make it. And he kind of, All right. Well, at least he made it through and he run back. He did the same thing. I don't think that's going to be the case all the time. They're going to go through Doak. And I think that he's going to be a lot of fun to watch this year. It would be nice to see a little bit more kind of getting the ball into him, maybe a little bit more than we did in this game. We did not exactly play through him. We certainly were a little bit more perimeter oriented. We obviously had a lot of easy buckets where we were kind of going back door and things like that. So that won't happen against a good team, especially a team with quite a bit of length like we're going to see against Kentucky. So I think Udoka is going to have a huge role in that game.
I think so too. He's going to be pretty key in terms of rebounding and establishing that inside presence. Moving on to another new guy, Malik Newman. I think Malik's going to be a great player for this team. I think Malik's going to score a lot of points and be a pivotal piece, but I don't think that he quite fits in yet.
Really?
Kevin.
Yeah, I don't know.
He fits in yet. He didn't quite look like he was involved in the offense, because we've seen this offense for years. Like, we know where people are supposed to go, how it's supposed to run, and he just felt a step behind, or maybe not necessarily where he knew where he needed to go, as well as other guys.
Maybe so.
Like, LeGerald and Devontae can do it in their sleep, and they can communicate, you know, through brainwaves in terms of where they need to go. And I don't think Malik's on their level yet. I mean,
that
he was
could
a
be
step
fair.
Behind.
He's been there a year, so like he should be able to do to at least understand the offense. I think
but
he
not
does
full speed, not a full speed against Allen Fieldhouse.
I think he does play a little bit different game, maybe than and you're talking about kind of a system versus a free spirit and Malik Newman. I think there are times when he might see something just as an instinctual player and go, rather than maybe doing so within the offense, if there is a set play call or something. I don't think that's a bad thing.
I don't either.
And
it didn't work out incredibly well this time.
Yeah, I thought he was fine.
He was fine.
Yeah, I mean, he's played pretty well in the exhibition games. But he still was like 5 for 8 from the field. He had double digit points. I can sort of agree that he might not be all the way there in the defensive side, and that's going to be probably a struggle for him all year. But I'm not willing to say anything yet about Malik Newman fitting in or not fitting in. I want to see a little bit more.
Well, and my only thought is like he's only got up to go. He's only got improvement that he can latch onto. He's only going to get better.
Yeah,
and I think that just with more time with this team against quality opponents,
he's really good.
Oh, he's great.
He's really
good. He's
got a good
shot. He's quick. And you mentioned on the defensive side, he was definitely better defensively against Tennessee State. He was benched at the start of the game of this game and in the second half against Fort Hays for lacking on the defensive side of the ball. Very lackadaisical. Didn't really seem to care. And Bill Self definitely latched on to that. So did not get the start at the beginning of this game. But he did go 5 for 8. He did play better defensively. But I guess my only thought is he's not quite there yet, but he can only get better.
Yeah.
Like he'll be, the offensive threat, defensive threat that we think he'll be.
I think he's going to be a lot of fun to watch. I think he's going to be really good.
He can only get better. I want to talk about Mitch.
Ooh.
Mitch.
What do you want to say about Mitch?
Mitch isn't great, but Mitch isn't bad, folks. Mitch is not bad. I think Mitch is much improved. Now, it wasn't against a great team, but
yeah.
Mitch did a lot of things. Mitch went out there and got his 4 fouls.
He did do that.
Which is what we need him to do. He went out there and got his 4 fouls. He got a couple of block shots. He had a couple of great rebounds. He had a couple of terrible rebounds, or a couple of rebounds that he got boarded over, but
yeah.
A couple of great rebounds. And you know what?
Against Tennessee Tech.
He had 2 threes.
He did have some threes. I love that he's shooting threes. I hope that he doesn't shoot them ever again.
Oh, I want him to just shoot threes.
I want him to just shoot dunks. Like, that's what I want him to shoot. Because a Mitch dunk is like an angel gets its wings. I am a huge fan of Mitch dunks. I don't disagree that he's improved. He does look like he's not running around with his head cut off like he did last year. He does seem to get where he's supposed to be. I think he's a little bit limited offensively, or a lot limited offensively. And while he is in position a lot of those times, he was getting pushed around by these guys, like Tennessee State Tech. And so I like playing against Kentucky, it's going to be a different game for Mitch Lightfoot. I hope that he can find a role though, because we're going to need him, obviously. I mean, he's going to play minutes this year. We don't have anyone else in the front court other than Billy. So, I mean, we're going to need him, but I'm not willing to say like he should get a bunch of minutes.
Like, well, he's going to be a four-year guy. It's not a should thing. It's a have to.
I know. I guess. Well, like, I don't know. We're going to play small a lot. I think it matters a little bit when Doak's out of the game. Can Billy manage as the only, you know, front court player that's playing pretty small? Not that Billy's short, but he plays smaller, obviously, than Udoka and maybe like Landon did last year. So I don't know. We'll see. I want him to get out and be an energy guy. I do want him to shoot wide open threes when we're up by 35 points. Other than that, I'm comforted if Mitch comes in and plays his 5 to 7 minutes and doesn't hurt us.
Okay. Now the moment we've all been waiting for, the player of the game, Klay Young.
Yes.
Is our new go-to player. If you are a subscriber to KenPom.com, they list all of the roles that the players have. So there's go-to player, there's role player, there's, you know, et cetera, based on usage per game, like how much what your usage rate is. And currently, Klay Young is listed as our sole go-to player.
Yes.
With a usage in over 28% of possessions. That's ahead of Devontae. That's ahead of LeGerald. That's ahead of Udoka. Kevin, you wrote this down. Per 40 numbers, 24 points, 16 assists per game.
How can you not play him more? He's averaging 24 and 16 per 40.
I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to say, we've got a new segment. Stat Boy wants to have a segment, by the way.
Oh,
for,
good.
You know, for you Jayhawk talkheads from early episodes, we used to have my brother Stat Boy on. He's got a new idea for a segment called Small Sample Size.
Oh, I like that.
So, Small Sample Size, Klay Young, National Player of the Year. Because if you average 24 and 16, you will win the Naismith Trophy. You will win National Player of the Year with 24 and 16.
Yeah. And, you know, he took one for the team on that cheap shot.
Yeah,
I really wanted him to retaliate. Like, I didn't care what else happened in that game. Like, it didn't matter. Like, I didn't care if they came back and made it a 10-point game. Like, whatever. If Klay Young would have retaliated in the second half, like, that was all I wanted. That was all I wanted. I know you were at the game. I was watching it online or watching it on TV and tweeting, obviously. That's all I wanted. That was it. That's all I talked about for about a good half hour. Was how much I wanted Klay Young to retaliate, but he didn't do it.
Yeah, he gave the typical, I believe we'll call it the Lansing, Kansas response, and then he just kind of, I think he's from Lansing. He laid on the ground and it's like, what happened?
What happened?
Hey, what are we doing? If he would have given the Hoboken, New Jersey response,
yeah. That's what we needed.
It would have been a little different story.
I was a little disappointed no one else came to like go push somebody after that. You know what I mean? Like come to his
it
rescue.
It happened so fast and the guy immediately walked away. So yeah. There wasn't an opportunity to get into a scrap. But we need to practice
need some
everything.
Scraps.
Against these other teams, we need to practice our free throws, we need to practice our 3-point shooting, and we need to practice getting into scraps.
Yes. 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 Absolutely.
And you know, with Klay Young as the centerpiece of this team, we needed to protect our guy.
Absolutely. He's not the enforcer. He's the one that's out there. He's the guy that you need to keep clean. I mean, if someone goes after him, you go defend your guy.
That's right. Speaking of my guy, I am super stoked for Chris Tien's 4 years at KU. I am super stoked. For those of you who were worried about this team and team chemistry and how we're going to work without having Tyler Self on the team, worry no longer. We have got Chris Tien. You know, we're going to blow teams out. Chris Tien's going to go in. We're going to try to get him the ball at the free throw line, and Alan Fieldhouse is going to go nuts when he shoots.
Yeah, he
it was
is
exactly
new...
like Tyler Self. It was exactly like it. And you know what? I think Chris Tien's going to be a little bit better.
He's the new crowd cheers for him guy. you know, when we're up by 25 points in Allen Fieldhouse and time to check in the walk-ins. Like, he's the guy they're cheering for now, right? Like, it used to be Tyler Self. Yeah. You know, back in the day, it was Moody and there was other guys and whatever. But now it's definitely Christian.
Oh, yeah. And he's good, I think. I don't know. He probably can shoot threes. His brother could. he was 0-2, but
I like that he tried. I like that he was launching. Like, that's what I want to see. Like, when you check in, you just launch. You launch.
It's
going to
be a fun ride. It's going to be a fun 4 years with Chris Tien. Let me tell you that. I can't wait. Before we get to Kentucky, Kevin, I wanted to throw a little news item out to you. It was reported, sort of half reported on Thursday during the day, and then sort of confirmed Thursday evening that this is at least being attempted, and that is that Sylvia D'Souza, a 2018 recruit for KU, might try to reclassify to play for KU this season. Now, Sylvia D'Souza, I think, is ranked in the 30s. He's a power forward, 6'9", big guy, you know, traditional power forward, likely not a stretch four. It will try to get to play, and if all goes well, we'll get to play in December. Now, a lot has to happen. I think he's taking, or it took, some kind of standardized test. I'm assuming that would be the ACT or the SAT yesterday, Saturday, and they're awaiting the results of that. And then from there, the NCAA would have to approve of everything, and then he would come aboard. But did you see this news story? What do you think of this?
I did. It was kind of funny. I was following it on the Twitter, and there was a guy, I can't remember who it was on Twitter, but who had just like slid into Silvio's DMs, just started asking him questions. And Silvio was like very happy to respond and said, yeah, I am going to try to be there in December. And so the guy takes a screenshot and tweets it out. And my first response was, of course, what do you say when you see that? Big if true. Like, that's the
big if true.
That's the response.
Huge if true.
Big if true. And that's all I said. But my immediate response, what I didn't want to say on Twitter, because I didn't want to like get the guy in trouble or whatever, it's like, you shouldn't be writing that on there. Like, Twitter guy, like, because I was that Twitter guy at one point, I think. I think.
Oh, that, you know, totally like, were.
Yeah. And then I recognized, like, I should not be doing that stuff. Like,
but you probably invented this, because you were, like, the forefront of Twitter. DMing recruits.
I was not DMing recruits. I was probably,
yes, you were
mentioning recruits. I don't think I ever DM'd a recruit.
Let's
probably
because
they didn't follow
those,
me.
Let's go, like, slide back through those DMs and see, like, if we can find a DeAndre Daniels DM back in the day.
No, I was DMing DeAndre Daniels' high school teammates.
Oh, okay. Well, that's same thing.
I was doing that. Actually, remember that guy? I can't remember who it was. He's like, oh, yeah, he's definitely coming to Kansas. I'm like, all right, cool.
Yeah, and it wasn't just DeAndre Daniels. There was others.
Yeah.
But all I'm saying is you invented this game, so you know the troubles.
And my troubles, like, the troubles are not, it's not like legal troubles or even like NCAA troubles. I guess theoretically I'm a booster, but it was more just like, let it play out. Like, don't screw this. Like, you could have somehow screw this up. You know, either you're screwing up something that the NCAA doesn't know about, or you're screwing up something the staff doesn't know about, or, you know, whatever, just, you know, take a step back. And that's what I wanted to say, but I didn't, because a big if true is what you say. Like, that's what you say. And so that's what I said. And then about 10 minutes later, all the tweets were deleted. And that was kind of the not surprising response. I'm sure somebody got to him and said,
wait, did you tell him to delete them?
No, I didn't. It wasn't me. Okay. But I'm sure somebody did, obviously. And that's sort of what I wanted to say, but I didn't. But I did respond after he said, hey, I deleted all the tweets. And I said something like, hey, hope this is, you know, hope whatever you said obviously ultimately turns out to be accurate, but not surprising that that you deleted these, because that's kind of how that works. I think the point was, there obviously are some steps that still have to take place, like, as you mentioned, taking a test and you know, getting everything probably cleared up with paperwork, et cetera. I'm sure the staff knew. It's not like the staff didn't know about what was going on. I'm sure they're very well aware. But yeah, I'm into this. I hope it happens, because there's, you know, we're playing Clay Young. we're playing Mitch Lightfoot. This guy's not going to come in and like obviously know the system immediately and be able to run and know every play and et cetera. So like, I don't want people to have crazy high expectations for him, but could he come in and be a guy that plays, you know, 8 minutes and has a role to get out and rebound and, you know, learn some of the offense early on and play if we have some foul trouble? Absolutely. Like, absolutely, he could do that. So having another body, frankly, is what we really need. I mean, we're a little light on that front court. So I'm into this.
We're a little light. And I think that that's what his role is going to be. I don't think we should talk ourselves into him coming in and having a, you know, one and done type of year in terms of statistics, minutes played, usage. It's going to be, you know, he hasn't gone through the preseason. He hasn't gone through the summer. He hasn't gone through boot camp. He doesn't know the offense. So he's not going to play a bunch. But right. If he can come in and get, you know, get some fouls, get some rebounds, kind of be a different Mitch, a bigger Mitch, more imposing, and, you know, just be another big guy. I think that that's great. But I don't think we should have huge expectations. Huge expectations, one, that it would happen.
Right.
Or two, that he's going to be, you know, an incredible superstar immediately.
He's a high energy guy. So like, that's one thing that you got going for you. Like if you're that kind of player and you don't know the offense and you don't know defense, but damn it, you're going to run your ass off and box out everybody and rebound the ball. And you know, like, that's fine. Like, that's perfect off the bench. We could use that player some in practice and, you know, whatever. So, I hope it happens. I think expectations need to be pretty low for his actual impact this year if it does happen.
Okay, Kevin, let's talk about Kentucky.
Who?
Kentucky.
Oh, okay.
My old Kentucky home. We play them on Tuesday, Champions Classic. You know, we've got a little bit of a winning streak against Kentucky. We've won two in a row. We won in Allen Fieldhouse 2 years ago against that Sky LeBissiere team, and then we won last year at Rupp Arena.
We've won five of eight. Don't let Kentucky,
five of eight.
Don't let Kentucky people tell you that they've got some crazy long winning streak against us. There were some times in like the 70s and 80s where they crushed us, but I think we've won five of eight.
And we're about to win six of nine because I think we've got a good shot in this game. Let's talk about Kentucky as a team. No team in college basketball has a lower percentage of returning minutes from last season. Coach Cal has been quoted as saying that he may have a team where it seems like basketball is going to like a no point guard, no center, just players. They're just all basically look the same.
Yeah. I'm actually looking at a team photo right now, I swear to God. And I was thinking the exact thing. Like if you look at the back lineup, which is there's like whatever, eight guys in the back line, and then there's some guys seated, you know, in the chairs holding the basketball like you do in basketball team photos. All the white dudes are sitting. So they're all like sitting down there. And then the back line, they're all the same height. And I'm looking at him like, well, that's kind of weird. And then I looked at the guy in the middle. He's like 7 foot. Like every guy is between 6'9" and 7 foot on their team. Like they're all very tall and very long.
Right. They're just basketball players.
They're just basketball
players. They're not centers or guards. Like, and I think he's true. And it's going to take a while for them to figure that out. There's no consistent perimeter scoring, but they're just long and athletic. You have a little stat on here that their average wingspan is higher than 6'11", and that's without two guys in the lineup, Kalea Jones or Richards in the lineup, who both have 7'2" wingspans. So like their average lineup in January is going to be 7'1" beyond.
I mean, it's nuts. They are that this seems like the team that could lead lead the team in block percentage, like we saw. That was it, the 2012 team. It was a team that they beat us in the championship, and it was 13. And so like
12,
they, was it 12? Okay, I was close. They are stupid long. I'm not sure what they're gonna do from a defensive standpoint other than beat a menace into anyone who tries to drive the lane. And this is something that we've struggled with in the past against a stupid long Kentucky team. And so that will be, I think, a huge key to this, to our game. I mean, yeah, they're not there. They're not there yet from an offensive standpoint. They're probably not even there from a defensive standpoint, but you can't teach 7 foot wingspan. Like at some point they're 7 feet long, and that's tough to, you know, tough to go against unless you're just making a bunch of threes, which would be awesome for us to do.
Right, and let's talk about their game on Friday. They struggled against Utah Valley. They trailed at one point in the first half by 12.
Wow.
But really turned it on in the second half and won by 10. They got back into the game by playing a zone defense, which Coach Kyle was quoted as saying later he doesn't like to do. He doesn't like the
junk
zone, but
junk defense.
He did play it. 81% of the minutes played in that game on Friday were played by freshmen.
Wow.
The rest of them, the other 19%, were played by sophomores.
Yeah,
I think this is a young team. Just in terms of the zone, if Kentucky plays a zone against us, I think we're going to be ready.
Yeah, I would love for them to play a zone, honestly.
I mean, it's a little different in terms of because they're incredibly long. Like, it's not going to look like a Tennessee State zone, but
right.
In terms of practice, we have some good practice against the zone. We know where the ball needs to go. In terms of on the offensive side, so you know, bring it on. If Kentucky, you guys want to play the zone, go ahead and do it. Some key players on Kentucky: Hamidou Diallo, had 8 points in that game on Friday. So look for him to try to match up with Devontae. I think that's going to be probably the key matchup to watch. Kentucky plays Vermont today. That's on Sunday. They always try to sneak in that extra game before the Champions Classic, where we just get one. They try to get two.
I think Vermont's pretty good, aren't they? They were pretty good last year. I remember them being a thing.
I don't have a recollection of the Catamounts.
I think they were a tournament
team. I know
they're
called the Catamounts, but I don't know if they're good or bad.
I think they were a tournament team. Do you have KenPom pulled up?
I will pull it up right now.
All
right,
while you do that, I'll go through a couple other guys. Like Kevin Knox is the other kind of key to their team. I think he is a really good player. He actually played the most minutes in that game. He played 37 minutes. I think he's going to be on the floor a lot. He and Diallo are the two that have probably got the most preseason love. But the thing is, like, they've got a team, Andrew, that they are not like Kansas. Like, we've got a pretty good starting, you know, 4 or 5 core. Like, they're going to go deep. I don't think they're going to be out there doing the deal where they platoons where they're 7-5-5, but like they could get close to that. I mean, they got 8 freshmen, and all of them were in the top 40 or something in recruits. Here we go. You wrote it down. Okay, there's 10th, 11th, 12th, 15th, 18th, 26th, 32nd, and then we have a guy at 72nd. So they had 7 guys in the top 32. In the recruiting. Now, the one thing about it, this team does not have like the number one guy or the number two guy. In fact,
they have a bunch of Billy Prestons.
Exactly, but they have a bunch of them. So
they have 7 Billy Prestons.
It's gonna be it's gonna be interesting also, Andrew, to see like what happens if this class, like most of them come back, like all of a sudden, like that could happen. Where, you know, they don't
because
have the
in that range, like usually the top 10 you consider one and done guys, and
right.
maybe a couple will bleed over, you know, 10 to 15. But, you know, your 10 to 30 range, I mean, that's a sophomore, that's a junior going to the NBA.
Yeah. I mean, that could happen. That'd be crazy.
Oh, if those guys came back for sophomore season, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Combined with whatever else they're going to get, they're going to have another top class.
Yeah, they just got another top class.
Maybe that's it. I mean, we're going to play against a tough team on Tuesday, but, you know, maybe the future of this team is to see, like, you know, Hamidou Diallo, what's he going to go to the NBA, and the rest of these guys, Jared Vanderbilt and PJ Washington, and even this Shai Gilgeous Alexander played 36 minutes in that game on Friday, and he looked incredible. He looked great in the highlights that I saw. So even these guys on the lower end were producing. I've got my Vermont update.
Yes.
They did play in the 2017 NCAA tournament. They played against Purdue.
Ah.
A lot of people predict Vermont, or at least some upset alerts against Purdue.
That's right.
Vermont did not win. They lost to Purdue by 10.
Okay.
This year, They are KenPom 75, which is not bad.
Not terrible. Yeah.
For Vermont, that's pretty high. Predicted to win the America East. So
there you
good
go.
Test for Kentucky today. If you've got some time and you're not watching football, I'm checked out on football.
Are you?
College and
are you
pro.
Done, Ski?
Because fantasy football did not go well for me this year. So I'm all about watching Sunday Big Ten or whatever random college basketball games on, because football is over for me. Other than the Chiefs. Chiefs aren't playing this weekend, so.
You need to get into some of that that advanced analytics and start doing some DraftKings college basketball stuff.
Oh.
It's kind of fun.
We need to get a stat boy on that.
It's kind of fun. Oh, see, there you
go. I don't want to do the math myself. I just want to be told what to do. And
yeah.
To make the money.
No, I'm into that, too. So, yeah. See, you got to talk to stat boy about starting a little DraftKings circuit. We can try to we pull our money and see if Statboy can make
all right,
us.
All right, you want to win college basketball DraftKings? Clay Young,
it's your guy. He's going to be super cheap.
He's going to be super cheap.
Minimum cost. He's your guy.
Okay, let's finish up. Let's talk about some keys to success on Tuesday against Kentucky. I've got two. Well, you've got a couple serious ones, and then I have a not-so-serious one. So I'll let you go ahead first.
Well, obviously, this is going to be a key basically any time we play a quality opponent, and that is keeping Udoka out of foul trouble, right? I mean, I think Billy Preston is obviously going to play this time. He hopefully is not missing any class the rest of since the last time. Hopefully doesn't miss a curfew, because we're going to need him, but I honestly, like, Udoka's ready for this type of game. I think he's excited for this type of game. If he's on the court, I think we have a really good chance to have some success. But if he's not, it changes our team a lot. So we're going to need him. And then we're going to need to spread these guys out offensively. As we talked about before, they've got some serious length. If we can knock down some early threes, kind of get them stretching out a little bit further, the three-point line opening up some lanes, where Devontae and Malik can operate, maybe drive to create rather than drive to score, because we've seen that a lot too, where we've played Kentucky teams in the past where they're really long and we drove and just kept getting our asses blocked every time. This is going to be an opportunity for our guys, hopefully, to get to the line too. I want to see more than 11 free throws this game. That's what we shot last game, 11 free throws. Frank Mason was getting 11 free throws by himself. We need to double that and maybe even more. So hopefully we see that too. I think those are the main keys for me.
I've got one big one, is that Sfee needs more confidence. And I think he does that by getting rid of the undershirt.
Ooh, hot take.
Sfee, you're not Brady Morningstar. Sfee Yadislav, you are not Brady Morningstar. Take off the sleeves.
Wow.
You need to show off those guns you've been working on in this summer. You know, you've been in the gym all summer working on those guns, losing 20 pounds, put on that muscle. Take off the sleeves. Show off the guns, Fee.
Yeah.
That's my thought.
That's your take?
And then get a tattoo. Get like a real mean Ukrainian tattoo.
Now we're talking.
Imposing. There you go.
I'm into that, and I agree an arm sleeve tattoo is exactly what he needs. Without the
Bill
undershirt.
Needs to relax that rule of no tattoos in season just for Sfee, because it's important for the basketball.
Is that a rule?
Yeah. He doesn't allow you to get tattoos in season.
Interesting.
He thinks that, like, you can't like play. You can't practice with a newly minted tattoo
because
you got to like cover it up. I don't know tattoos.
You're not a tattoo guy.
No, but you know, if I'm gonna get one, I'm gonna get like KU undefeated 2018.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's go around the Big 12 real quick. Everyone opened up their seasons on Friday. West Virginia lost to Texas A&M 88-65.
That was wild. Did you watch that game?
I did in Port Fonda immediately before the game on Friday.
Early on, like, West Virginia was killing them. They looked like they were going to like run away with the game.
Yeah, they were up by 15, I think.
I know. And then all of a sudden, like, they just completely crashed to end the half, and then A&M just went on a bonkers run in the second half. It was pretty weird to watch. That's a West Virginia thing though. Like, they can make you look really bad, but there's times if things just turn on them, like, it, I don't know. It that was a really surprising game. Obviously it's early, you know, whatever, but we'll see. I think Kentucky plays West Virginia this year too, don't they?
I don't know, but
I think that's the Big 12 SEC Challenge game. I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Yeah, they play.
So anyway,
do they play? Yeah, West Virginia in January. That is that game.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to read too much into this for West Virginia. This was played in Ramstein, Germany, the Air Force Base. Duhas for all you Ramstein heads out there. So this was in Germany. They got to travel. And I don't think that the Press Virginia travels well because it takes so much out of you. So I'm not willing to put too much into this. Let's see how they do in the future. But, you know, we play Texas A&M down the road. And it may be that they're a better team than everybody thought. Otherwise, in the Big 12, Iowa State lost to Mizzou 74-59.
They suck.
And they're pretty bad. And Michael Porter only played 2 minutes.
I know. That was actually really funny. Did you watch like the highlights for that? Because they had, like, you know, they pack the Page Arena, or is that what they're calling it still? That's what I call it, the Page Center.
I think it's just Mizzou Arena, but it will always be Page Walton Arena to me.
It's the Page Walton Arena. Anyway, so they pack the Page. They've got, you know, like a completely rabid crowd. All the antlers are there. They got the strobe lights and the smoke, and everyone's all jacked up. And then they announce Michael Porter, and he's just ballistic. And then he checks out in 2 minutes and never comes back in the game. And everyone in the arena like is on this hush, like, guys, where's Michael Porter? Guys, excuse me, where's Michael Porter Jr.? Where's Michael Porter Jr.? And no one knew. Like, that was the other thing. Like, there was no reporting. And so, like, they didn't get anything until halftime, and they're like, he's like, icing his hip or something. I don't know. But interesting either way. I thought that was kind of funny. But it just goes to show, I think Mizzou's actually pretty good because they still won by 15 without him.
Yeah, and Iowa State, you know, they've got a long way to go to get back to where they were, so we'll keep an eye on them this non-conference season. No one else played anybody worth note. Like, yeah, they all just won big by against a bunch of scrubs. The only other notable note from the Big 12 is that Oklahoma State Jeffrey Carroll, they're the leading scorer of the Big 12, who's returning this year, is being held out for possible eligibility reasons, possibly connected to that FBI scandal that affected Oklahoma State going back 6-7 weeks ago. If Jeffrey Carroll doesn't play for Oklahoma State, they are going to be terrible.
Yeah, I don't disagree. That sucks for the Big 12.
Anyway, they're going to be bad anyway.
I hope he plays. I like Jeffrey Carroll's game. You know, they did fire the assistant. What is his name? I can't remember the guy's name. They fired that assistant there, allegedly involved with that stuff. Obviously, they probably felt pretty good that he was involved. He got fired. I think this is Lamont Evans. That was the guy. Fired that guy. Allegedly solicited $22,000 from two financial advisors to steer two players to them. I don't know, man. This is ugly for Oklahoma State if he doesn't play. And honestly, I hope he does. I hope they get it worked out because I actually really like his game.
And he had just a breakout season last year. I mean, he was a guy who you didn't really pay attention to when he was a sophomore. But then last year as a junior, he just became this force of nature alongside Juwan Evans and made that team pretty good.
Yeah.
No one really knew his name, and then suddenly everyone knows his name immediately. So we'll keep an eye on that. Moving on to football news.
Football.
KU lost to Texas yesterday. And that was talking football.
No, let's talk for a second, right? One second. I know you've checked out.
Very quickly.
I know you have checked out. But, like, this is almost the end of the show. All we have left is Hype Beal. And so, let's talk about 1 second, KU football. They actually kind of had a chance to win that game.
They played okay. They played better. And I'll say this. I don't know if they ever had a chance to win that game, but they played not embarrassingly.
Well, that's true.
They didn't embarrass themselves.
That's true and not true.
The very beginning of the game was embarrassing.
That's the problem.
Onside kick and then an immediate touchdown. Yeah, that was embarrassing. But the rest of it, you know what? They played okay.
I tweeted out something. I can't remember what it was. Something like, one thing is for certain watching KU football, like if things are going okay or even like remotely positive, just like wait a minute, because something absolutely awful is about to happen. And like every single time we'd like get a three and out, like a big key three and out, like got some momentum, and then we'd throw a pick, or like then we'd get some turnover and everyone's going crazy on the sideline and they go up and then we run the ball up the middle three times and punt. Like it's so frustrating to watch. They can't put it together. Someone said on Twitter, I can't remember who it was, but I agree. It's like, okay, the reaction to that tweet is what remains constant throughout that? Because you got players, you have a program, like whatever, like things can happen with some variance, but like one constant is coaching. And so like and that's the thing that he's not wrong. I can't remember who it was. I apologize, but he's not wrong. And that's the problem here. I'm beginning to think, and I know others have been here for a long time, but that, man, we could use some better coaching. So I don't know that the offensive play calling was brutal at times. I don't understand at all what they were doing in that second half. They had some momentum going in the first half and that short and intermediate passing game. And it just, they stopped doing it. I don't know. It was bad. I know they were dropping a lot of folks and trying to challenge that. But anyway, I'll stop talking about football now. It was frustrating to watch.
Okay. And now, onto everyone's favorite segment, Hey Beal.
So you got some good feedback on this.
I think we did.
I wasn't sure.
We got some feedback, and I think that it was all positive. No one hated it.
Let's see. That's all we're going for here.
So we're going to do it again. We've got a couple. So tweet your own Hey Beals. Hashtag Hey Beal. H-E-Y-B-E-L. B-E-E-L.
Tell people what Hey Beal is.
Hey Beal is where we just ask Bill Self questions, whatever comes to mind. This is stemming from, you know, these random events Bill Self goes to, and they just ask Bill Self weird questions. So we've got weird questions that we're going to ask Bill Self right here on the podcast.
Right here on the podcast. Okay, you can go first.
Hey, Bill, Bruce Weber held a funeral for you back in 2003. You're not dead, right?
Hey, Bill, I need a little relations advice, Bill, and I know you're an expert when it comes to recruiting and dealing with the moms around the kitchen table. See, that's my wheelhouse, too, moms. Any advice you can lend to get in better relation with the moms, Bill?
Hey, Bill, do you believe in time travel? And if you do, would you go back in time into 2003 and punch Bruce Weber in the face?
Hey, Bill, I know you got the FBI sniffing around the program. I, too, have the FBI sniffing, too, but it's the Finney County Bureau of Insects. Apparently, they don't like my cricket collection. Any advice to keep them off the trail, Bill?
Hey, Bill, what's Tulsa like?
Bill, I run an eBay tractor trading service, but people don't know that I moonlight as a record producer. What are the chances, Bill, that the fella Clay Young is a country singer? Sounds like a bona fide country singer name to me.
Hey, Bill, I went to high school with a guy named Billy Preston. He was a pothead, and he was always getting himself into trouble. It's not the same guy, right? Because the Billy I know would do something like that. I'm just trying to make sure you're not getting catfished.
Hey, Bill, I know we shoot a lot of threes, but what are the chances you could try to maybe shoot some more fours? Like, you know, have the fellas lean into them a little bit and try to make it a four-pointer rather than a three-pointer, because four is more than three.
Oh, maybe we bring back that rockin' jock, Dan Cortez. Yeah, 20-pointer. Let's do that, Bill.
Half-court shots. All right.
All right, that was Hey Bill.
That was Hey Bill.
That was Hey Bill.
That was Hey Bill. So there you go.
Okay, Kevin. Kentucky on Tuesday.
Yes. Any predictions? Let's get a quick prediction for Kentucky game.
I'm going to say we win by 7.
Wow. I don't know what the spread is. Do you?
I don't, and I don't know if they've released
Ken Palm it. Has Kentucky as a slight favorite, correct?
Yeah, but early days of Ken Palm is...
I know.
Because you can't even plug in those new guys yet.
It wouldn't surprise me if KU is a, what, like a
two or three.
1.5, 2 point favorite. Yeah.
Two, probably two.
I actually like KU in this game too. I think Kentucky's a little overrated right now. Now, I think they're going to be really good, and I think they're going to be really good late, but I think we'd be catching them at the right time. Now, who knows though? I mean, it could obviously we're kind of young, and self would say we're a mess right now too. But I think when we have played like that Missouri game, I think it was a great test for this team to come out and play like a super high level, crazy, you know, under the lights game. Kentucky has not had that. Like, that's one thing we've got going. We've actually played one of those. So I think KU wins this game. I like your prediction, maybe 5 to 7 points.
I'm trying to look it up. I don't think they've released any lines yet, but I think that's what it is. And two or so. And I think that we're, I think, a little bit further along than they are. We have a Devontae Graham and they don't.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've got some high level recruits, but we've got guys like that and LeGerald Vick, and those Kentucky guys aren't caught up yet. So, you know, if we face them down the road, it's going to be a battle, but I think this is a game to see where we are, see yep. where they are. But, you know, the Champions Classic is one of the more fun events of the whole year. And I'll be there in spirit. You guys are watching on TV. I know some folks are going. They may be listening to this and incredibly jealous.
Send us some pictures from the stands. We'll retweet them. And also, yep. send us your Hey Beals if you got
Hey
any.
Bill. Hey Bill, are we going to be Kentucky on Tuesday?
Before we leave, I did listen to a Kentucky podcast. Because I wanted to understand how to pronounce the names of the players, because some of them I didn't even attempt
to try that.
I listened to it this morning. I was driving to get some coffee, and I can't remember which podcast it was. I'll tweet it out if I think of it. But their entire podcast was Hey Beals. Like, the entire podcast, it was two guys who spoke like Hey Beal the whole time, because they're from like deep Kentucky, and it was hilarious. It was so funny. And when they got to talking about KU, the one comment was something like, well, you know, they got the FBI on the peripheral out there sniffing around their program too, which is why I got that question, by the way. They got the FBI. So they got things on their mind, you know, beyond just basketball right now with the Adidas stuff. And they're obviously a big Adidas school. And they talked about that for 2 minutes. Like, that's not, I don't think that's happening.
No, but
that's what they said. That's what they said. So it was kind of funny.
Whatever you can do to talk yourself into it.
Yeah, pretty much. It was funny. All right, let's get out of here, Andrew. Thanks again for listening. Thank you for the Hey Beals on Twitter. If you want to catch us on Twitter at Jayhawk Talk, at Sherlock Hoops, give us that 5-star rating on iTunes. Run out there, leave us a comment. It takes like 2 seconds, helps us a lot to get the podcast out to new listeners. We will talk to you next week, hopefully talking about a KU win in the Champions Classic. Until then, rock chalk. For my Jayhawks, this for my Jayhawk fans. For my Jayhawks, this for my Jayhawk fans. For my Jayhawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. I tried to tell them every time we on the court. I tried to tell them that we never coming up short. I tried to tell them that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us. They know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel. They know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Uh-huh, yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players, and did the same for the fans. Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. All the
years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us steering, all them tournaments appearing with no team that's interfering, nine times get to cheering with them banners held high and the crowd going wild, night before the final four, you can't even sleep now, yeah we at the peak now, we can't even leap down, March Madness man, we've been waiting weeks now. If you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the boosters showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court. So we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together. But win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man. But one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan.
I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock Chuck Jayhawk in your faces.
It's for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks.
And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks,
this
baby.
This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans.